This is a production of Cornell University.
Part of the delay, it's 4:41. I'm going to call the meeting, the first meeting of the CJC, to order. And before we get started, does everybody have an agenda? Okay. You do not? Right next to you. So I'm going to quickly introduce myself, and then hopefully we can all just tell each other our names and where we're from, because we will be working together as a collective group for quite some time. So my name is Logan Kenny. I'm a second-year law student. I was also a 2015 graduate from the College of Human Ecology. So I really love Cornell, as you guys can tell. I was a voting member through the UA of the CJC last year, and I decided to take on this role to help us continue moving the code provisions along.
Risa Lieberwitz. I'm a professor of labor and employment law at the ILR school and have been on CJC for quite a while and working on these kinds of issues.
Hi, my name is Margaret. I'm the clerk of the committee. I'm a senior in ILR.
This is your second year of clerk.
I started second semester sophomore year, so
third year.
I didn't realize.
Richard Bensel, Department of Government.
Hi, I'm Jack Carmichael. I'm the employee assembly rep and the director of student services at AAP.
My name is Gavin Martin. I use he, him, his pronouns. I'm a senior.
My name is Joe Anderson. I'm president of student assembly, he, him, pronouns. I'm serving the seat as an interim basis right now, so maybe I'll be totally voting member for the rest of the year or something else happens, but for today, I'm very am for the SA.
Laura Taylor, EA. I am a senior associate director in the Office of Global Learning Intervention.
Terrible Wanu, I'm a sophomore in ILR. I'm the first generation to represent on the SA, and there is the SA representative, he and his pronouns.
Fantastic. And Chris, you wanna?
Hey everybody, I am Chris Bart. I'm on the UA and the EA. UA, I'm the chair of the CIC, and I came here to support my fellow chair members.
I'm Marty Hatch, and I'm on the UA as a faculty member. I'm an emeritus professor of music and Asian studies, and I've been on the Seat Codes and Judicial Committee through the years, but right now I'm in the process of being ratified. and was part of the original CJC and the development of the code.
I'm Gina Giambattista, the director of the Office of Judicial
Counselor. I'm Gabrielle Camper, I'm a Judicial Codes Counselor.
My name is Kat Wong,
faculty
assembly,
not the
CJC, just
for the
Michelle
Lorbach, just
one administrator, this year member.
Charlie Van Loan, Dean of
Faculty, Emeritus, and Design.
We were supposed to have Liberty Market. Okay, so I am going to ask that we look at the minutes. I hope you all have had a chance to read them. And I know many of you weren't present for these minutes, and we're just going to be approving them unless someone was here and we're in need of some changes.
So I have a note on the page 5, and it's part 5 of B. Number 1, when we talked about the part of the draft of that I had written on freedom of speech in the introductory part, we actually voted on it. So part 1 B, D, R1, there should be a notation that we formally approved it. It's sort of implied when Dale says he will include it in the draft, but we actually positively voted for it. I don't think it's unfortunate.
I will go back and look at it, but I think that Dale said that it doesn't require a formal vote, but I will go back and look at it.
I think we raised our chance, but I couldn't do it.
Okay.
I'm going to recommend that we then table this.
Yeah.
If someone would like to move for that until the next meeting. Kevin? Any seconds? All right, thanks, Laura. So we are going to table the minutes, and I'll look into that for whether there was a vote. Okay. So I'm also going to add to the business of the day for us to solidify meeting times for the rest of the semester. I will save that to the end, if we're all okay with that, just so that we're aware of what times we're coming in and have some consistency for our own schedules and if we need to switch a time or a date. Okay, so we're going to get started by really talking and understanding the role of the CBC. So if we could just open up our bylaws for a sec. So in particular, looking at either section 3.3 or section 4.1, which is the Codes and Judicial Committee section, I just wanted to open up a conversation about the process in which the recommendations to the UA are to go forward and what that means for public comment. So I really wanted to open this up to the committee to make sure that we're following a procedure that's both within our bylaws and also within the best nature of efficiency and getting the code revisions through. And then I would also like to point out that currently on the website, the last working draft as well as the code revision working draft from the University Council have already been made public without any consultations with the CJC, and I wanted to ask the committee just to consider that and where that stands with our bylaws and where we'd like to go from there.
I think the bylaw is pretty clear about what our authority is with the CJC of reviewing any proposed motion related to campus code of conduct. Any proposed motion means anything to do with it, whether it be public comment, whether it be any resolution, whether it be any amendments to the code. I think that sole authority lies with us first and foremost. And I think just like getting that out there very explicitly and very clear is very important to say, because there's a process in place, there's a structure in place, and circumventing any process or structure at the to get something out quicker is not what constitutes trust in this building of a new campus code of conduct.
Make sure I understand this. So it's now public, but nothing's been said about the time and comment period.
Absolutely nothing. Which would have been set by our committee, So I'm proposing that if we feel strongly about this, we can make a recommendation or a motion to bring this in front of the UA for further discussion and express where the CJC stands with how we would like to move forward with the code revisions based on our bylaws and the timeline that we will be setting as a committee. Richard.
So one of the
important issues in this is that with the University Council's draft, the code is our responsibility. We screwed it up last year, the year before, we're kind of slow. But it's still our responsibility, and following the procedure with respect to the UA and for this committee, really important in defending those prerogatives. The code is not the central administration's baby. They will, in consultation with us and with the UA, in the end, approve it and work it out. But I think defending the prerogatives of both this committee and the UA, and this committee referenced the UA, really important in keeping these things straight.
Yeah, I was just looking at the website. I hadn't seen it before. You said that, what did you think of what's being posted? Because I'm not finding it. I'm trying to get a sense of it.
Charlie, may I ask you to just introduce your website?
Yeah, I thought it was circulated.
I was just looking at the Codes and Judicial Committee Act. I
thought
you said it.
Oh, yeah, no, it's published through,
I see, and so who gave authority to that thing?
The chair of BUA. After I said that I was uncomfortable because it was a CJC matter and I refused to speak on behalf of a committee that has not met and deliberated on that.
So, is this the chair of BUA?
Robert Howard.
Okay, and so he overrode your desire.
Yeah.
So yeah. Thank you.
Okay.
So Logan, are you saying we should take it down?
I think that that's a decision for all of us. Personally,
what would you recommend?
Personally, I believe that having a working draft written by another group, as well as a working draft that was written by a prior committee that this committee has not seen, having that for public comment is quite confusing and isn't even necessarily the direction that this committee is going to choose to go in. So I would recommend taking them both down until this committee is comfortable. And I believe our bylaws say that with each motion, then it can be open to public comment. So if you finish a section, and we feel like it's ready for public comment, we don't need to release it all at once. We can do it in part. It's going to be up to what we all ultimately choose as a group, but my personal recommendation is that we are, as a group, standing behind this work without making the decision to stand behind that work, and especially because I expressed a concern about this and it was done anyway. I just think that it is violating the authority of this committee.
So maybe the best way to proceed would be for us to consider a motion, a resolution, basically, to be sent. Who do we send it to? Do we send it to the UA?
It would be the University Assembly.
So send it to the University Assembly. Requesting that those documents be taken down. I think that would serve the purpose of reasserting prerogatives without having to go through, look at the bylaws and so forth and so on. We just make the request.
So I open to anyone who wants to move for that and open for further discussion.
Well,
okay, so Richard is proposing that we create and set forth a resolution to the University Assembly, one, asking for both of those documents to be taken down in accordance with the bylaws, and stating that when the CJC presents motions that are ready to be viewed by the public, we will then ask them to be public, and we will set that timeline as it states within our bylaws. So is there any discussion?
So would the resolution come to the next UA meeting?
Yeah.
So it would be then sent out through email. I'm wondering how that process goes forward. And then also I know at our next UA meeting, President Paul is coming
with her, we are going to have questions about the campus code of conduct and how the vision works. And for autonomy, if we want to have autonomy, should those discussions not first happen here and in that meeting, or is it just a pretty board for everyone at the UA? But I think we're blurring the lines of like the work that we do in the work that we do.
I completely agree with that, and I have been trying to get in contact with President Paul's office to figure out if we can merge the CJC and UA meeting so that she is speaking to everyone, or if she will specifically come to speak to the CJC, as the UA is ultimately responsible for voting through our recommendations, but our recommendations do come first. So it's imperative that we also have that chance to speak to the president. So I'm proposing that if we move forward with this resolution, I would be able to draft it in the next week. Unfortunately, we will have to meet 2 weeks in a row right now, just because with the UA schedule, we're going to miss a lot of time. So we're going to meet sometime next week. I could show you all, we can work through the resolution together then, and then it would go to the UA for that meeting. And then I am reaching out to President Pollock and trying, maybe if I'm lucky next week, that would work out also. Is there a second? All right, Laura, thank you. And further discussion before we vote? So, yeah.
Well, just a question. Do we have any explanation from the chair of the University Assembly as to why?
He said it was based on transparency and making sure that the community was aware of what we were doing. However, when I said that that's based on another group's working draft, another two different groups working drafts, then I wanted to be able to speak to the committee first because I represent this committee in those meetings. He said that it was for the sake of transparency.
So I think another issue with that are the double standards being projected on the CJC and the UA and the Board of Tech and the UA. For example, there is a discussion about like not having merit, etc. How is that not fair? Or how does that look for transparency versus us having merit for anything with
okay, so all in favor of the resolution asking for these guys to be taken down, both drafts to be taken down. All right, any opposed? Abstentions? And we can move that. So next week I will add that to the agenda and we'll work through the resolution and find something that we're all happy with. So then moving on to the campus code. So we have suggestions from the University Assembly that were brought up in our last meeting, and that is that if we're going to switch from a campus code to a student code, which is being proposed by the president's office, that we call it a student code of conduct, as it would no longer be reflective of the community as a whole. And then also having discussions about the JA's office and position and the fraternity system, as well as the core value statement that was released, and that would be also discussed alongside the value statement that our committee discussed last year. So those are just things to keep in mind. We have a timeline that we are going to try to work with, but that's also something that this committee gets to set. The president's office is looking for everything to be completed by the December Board of Trustees meeting. That is an incredibly aggressive timeline. I think that from conversations and from hearing how what President Pollock has said to other constituent groups, it is the JA position seems to be something that's like very important just to discuss and figure out whether that position is remaining in the code, would go under the dean of academic affairs.
The vice president.
Okay, of academic affairs. And if the JA is partially removed from the code, what would that mean? Would we still have weekly reports? So I think that timeline-wise, I'd say we try our best, but we prioritize the things that we think need to be completed. And in my opinion, that would be making a decision as soon as possible whether it's going to be a student-only code, and then making a decision about where we would like the JA position to go, if anywhere, changed or unchanged.
So we're open for discussion.
Yes.
So here's the, I mean, we have a, seems to me, we have a basic choice right at the beginning. And that's whether it's a student code or we work with the draft from last year, which, as you see, it's really, you know, it's a mess. And it's, it would take a lot of work. We went with this, with the draft the council's office has provided and revised it appropriately in all the ways that we thought best. I think they've done us a real service in giving us a framework for discussion to move. There are a lot of things in it set around the visions of some of the passages. There are a lot of things I would revise. Many of them, though, are really stylistic that I can see. Some of them are attitudinal. I mean, there's something about the council's drafts that really puts me off when it says the university's expectations, the code of conduct is generated by us. It's a community code. It's not a university's code. It's not an expectation that are imposed on students. It is something we generate ourselves for community life. That, I think, is almost an inadvertence, I hope, in their draft, that I tried to change those places so that we emphasize the community nature of the code as opposed to the. And the most substantive thing in the parts that I worked on is the Judicial Administrator's Office. It's not only that it changes the responsibility, it changes the name, changes the content, probably changes the entire structure. And I think that's something we need to really seriously discuss. Because the JA's office now is in theory and usually in practice suspended between the university assembly and the administration. It's meant to be suspended with responsibility to vote. This would centralize, as far as I can tell, this would centralize that relationship. And while it says in consultation with the university assembly, that is a very weak substitute for what we have done in the past. That's my understanding of those revisions. That's a really important substantive issue that we, you know, that in these discussions need to be done. But before we do all of that, we have to decide which draft we're going to work with. Ms. Logan says, if we're going to do the student code one, then it has to be that name, and it has to be articulated in such a way that the student code does not, and working on that student code, does not exhaust our responsibilities for a community code of conduct for the university as a whole. That we're doing it, as Logan would say, expeditiously, rather than to exhaust what we should do in the end. Anyway, that's what I see.
Yeah, I want to agree with some of Rich's points about content. The content from between the two versions doesn't seem all that different. It basically covers everything. I mean, a lot of the attitudinal language, I do agree with you. Behavioral standards for students, I think there's a better way to frame that. I mean, that's stuff that we can dig upon. But I think starting with University Council's version, that work is done in a way that is pretty much pristine-ish, better than, at least in my opinion, better than like the Frankenstein more from last year. But I want to turn to the concept of the student code and the changes to the OJA. I view them as intimately linked together, because if it does pursue a student code of conduct, the movement of the OJA under the vice president of student campus life is integral to maintaining harmony with all of that. And I think that's ultimately what we want to see as a university, is in line with national best standards of student conduct across the country, across our peer institutions. So I view them not as two separate issues, but one issue of, is the code going to go to the student, and is the student the central focus of the code? And right now, under the campus code, it is, essentially, with the volume of cases that the OJA sees is primarily being undergraduates, like, and to the 99% of it. So I would say it is my opinion that we work off of University Council's code, changing attitudinal language, changing language that we find is not necessarily in harmony with what we did last year, but really focusing down on making this a student code and really finding ways to put the OJA in harmony with the student campus life so that they can execute their job better.
Yeah, so I was just wondering, could there be a student code for the club?
That
has not
been completely discussed
with the user. There, see, one of the things we wanted to do, again, contentious, but it's pretty controversial. There are some aspects of the community code of conduct that some of us have believed in the past should apply to staff, faculty, central administration, things like ethics, truth-telling, integrity. One thing, for example, in this draft, it says that students should obey university orders and directives. So should staff, faculty, and the central administration. And in some cases in the past, those directives, orders that the central administration has articulated and issued, they have violated themselves. And so to craft it, I think, in the end, so that some of the standards of behavior, but the standards of ethics and performance, those should be universal across the community as a whole. It is a community. This is to see it as a nuanced community in which, yes, there are different statuses, there are different roles to play in different institutions and institutional relationships. But in the end, there's also a set of values and principles to which we should all be sensitive. So in the end, what that would look like, I made a partial stab in the introduction that I drafted last year, and it could certainly use a lot of work, but it's something like that, something that says, despite the fact that staff are covered by one set of regulations, faculty by another, and students, there are still some common principles of behavior to which we are all susceptible as an intellectual community. It's fine. I've said this for years. I mean, that's my strong belief. And it's in that spirit that we approach the student code, like we would approach a faculty or staff code. I mean, it's to see different relationships within the same general community.
So first, an informational question. Are there other universities that have the broader campus code? Or are we really an outlier on that?
Not
outlier. Yeah.
So it's more common to have a code more like for them. I mean, this is a draft,
yeah.
But this draft for one was taken from a mix between research group around UVA and MIT. So a lot of competitive institutions have more of this like structured student oriented code.
Yeah, because as a general matter, I don't have a problem with having a code that's designed for students. My concern is that we don't lose any rights for faculty and staff by limiting this only to students and not making sure that the rights that apply to everybody are then repeated elsewhere. So that's number one. I don't believe there's really completely separate issues. Oh, let's do the student code, and then we'll take care of other things, because I don't want to lose anything,
mm-hmm.
you know, in terms of academic freedom and issues like that. And I know, of course, we have academic freedom staying elsewhere, but that would be one thing. I think we should do certain aspects of the one of the key arguments for me in terms of thinking about having a separate code for faculty and staff is the due process piece. And now I'm just going to talk about faculty because I know most about that from my own work on academic freedom and due process. And that is that for faculty due process and what the AAUP, the American Association of University Professors, describes as academic due process is very much around peer review and having peers judge each other. And I think that, you know, there's some benefit to having a separate code to follow the standards of the AAUP. Now, saying that, I'm not speaking against having that with that. You know, I think that that's a really good approach, but it's what I know the best in terms of what's been done with, you know, across the country with the academic due process for faculty. So it seems to me that keeping them separate in that way is helpful in terms of not having to carve out, like, this process applies only to students, this process applies only to faculty, you know. So there's some benefits to separating them in that way. But I want to make sure that we maintain the rights for everybody that we have, you know, worked out here. And then the other thing in terms of the JA, I'm uncomfortable with this idea of a vice president for student and campus life being sort of the overseer of this process. It feels to me like, and perhaps, you know, people can explain this more to me, but it feels that it's to me like the JA loses some independence in this way, and what I would like to see is independence as opposed to a sense of having to answer to somebody who may be who isn't in the business of administering justice.
So I'm actually going to ask Michelle if she's comfortable to share her opinion on the position and whether it would be more beneficial to be under.
Okay. Someone at the Clinton Talk also shared that we are the main outlier at having a constitutional code. I haven't been able to find one institution that actually has faculty staff here because the pedagogical reasons and development institutions are very different than the city of professors we've been here for the career. I like the idea that I actually have professors that report to us and papers and just do it. We do it as a standard for the process. The idea of where Jay and the college of reference to kind of set the most important matter to the standards and things of that nature. Typically reports to the dean of students or vice president. That's at a common level of where it reports to. When it comes to the idea of having independent judgment, I think that's something that is always preserved regardless of where you report to. And I say that because any person or employee at a university has to report to them. I'll say having been in the JA position for 3 years, it's really hard not to have a reporting line because there's actually less independence to take because there's no protection for the decision taking. I trust that individuals who serve in the vice president capacity have a long history of advocating for student rights and understanding of the fairness of laws and rights that govern an institution. And I think, when we're looking at where we want to be the outlier at, I think some of the First Amendment things that we're really good protectionist outliers in that way. But when we think about structure, I don't know why we are sort of moving towards that as a first step.
I was going to say I didn't know you were giving that to me, but
no. Yeah, and I think even from the student perspective, I think that there would be even more trust placed in a student conduct office that is under Brian Lombardi, that is under Virginia Lombardi because of their leadership as administrators and the trust that students have put within those individuals. And if this harmonized within student campus, why student campus, I believe, is an outlier of a lot of administrative units on campus, in fact, because of it's closest tied to students. In fact, you very rarely would ever see a student, I think, say something about Ryan Lombardi versus another VP of the university, I think, because there's so much more respect given to students, like, for what they do to students.
Alright, so we have a lot of moving things on the table right now, including a discussion of whether we want to move forward with a student code and make a recommendation to separate out and have an additional code for faculty and staff. Also, whether we'll be working off of the university council draft while using, obviously, information from the previous task force, information from our prior work group, that we wouldn't just be solely working off of that draft. There's a lot more. And then also the JA position and where we that going. So I personally recommend that we continue the discussion about the student code and potentially do move on that one, because I think that once we know whether we're working with just the student code, it really helps with our efficiency to move forward in a more efficient manner, and we can just keep trekking forward with that in mind, because some of the mindsets then do change, because now we're thinking strictly of the student. But I do understand that we also want to make sure that faculty and staff are not losing protections under that code. And yeah, so.
Yeah, I was just going to make a formalized motion of all of that, of the CJC working off of a student code provided through the University Council's office with the OJA reporting to FDL, concurrent revision of a rights and responsibilities document that talks about academic freedom and other free speech freedoms for faculty and staff, kind of having those two processes. But, and so I recommend using the University Council so then we're not creating new language. Rather, we can review language for the student code and utilize Richard's draft from last, Richard's, what are you exactly calling it? Statement of principles and policies as a concurrent to talk about academic freedom for faculty and staff. And that's kind of the process that I think the committee should work off of, with the anticipation that the student code portion could be completed by December. I don't want to be too overly ambitious in that, but because we're using language that is written for us coming into the meetings, that's kind of like the formalized long-term motion.
All right,
is
there...
I'll
second that.
I can write 2 seconds
that, and then open up for discussion.
Lisa. Yeah, one thing that occurred to me, well, a couple things. One is, it sounds like we're not going to actually vote on sort of finally whether to have it as a student code, as opposed to working along with that assumption that we'll be separating them. But also, what is our jurisdiction as a CJC? Because it states, you know, that we'll be reviewing any proposed motion related to the campus code of conduct, which is true now. But if there are separate codes for faculty and students, I mean, faculty, students, and staff, are we going to maintain jurisdiction by students in the middle of it?
By the reading of the bylaws, I would say it does not look like it. Yes, Joe.
I guess maybe I have more liberal and open interpretation of line 153 in that, but they proposed review and amend resolutions as it deems appropriate. How I read that is, we deem it appropriate to talk about all of those things because they are part of the campus code that is getting split. Therefore, since the campus code as it stands right now is moving to a student code in one hand and then the faculty and staff one together, that's still under our jurisdiction because we deem it appropriate since it was birthed from the campus code of conduct. That's how I'm reading it. Obviously, I typically tend to have more liberal interpretation of bylaws and governing documents within shared governance. Complete bias, but that's how I would do it. Or we could just revise the bylaws in the resolution for next week to include, you know, campus code of conduct and campus code of conduct and other necessary documents related or some sort of bylaw change.
I mean, it's actually pretty complicated. I think that we can do the work that we've been talking about doing. But if we have, for example, a separate faculty code, then one could argue well for the future in writing and finalizing if that should go to the Senate. Right? So that would be the job of the faculty Senate. And for the employees, it would be the employee assembly, you know, separately. But so it seems to me that that's part of the discussion, not just simply should we have a student code separately. But
and the graduate students would merge with the other graduates as their students.
Well, I guess. I mean, I don't know. But I think it seems to me that that's an important question. Because what I would not want to do is to, number one, lose jurisdiction through governance over separate codes. But number two, have them in the right, in the place that makes sense.
One way I think of finessing this for now is to say that we will use the University Council's draft as the basis for working on a student code of conduct, which eventually will be part of, say, a part of the campus code of conduct. And therefore we leave unstated what we say is, it's partial at the very beginning of our deliberations and leave it up in the end to how we deal with the rest of it. I think as a practical matter, I think using this University Council's draft as a working document, framework for discussion, that'll get us a long ways down. And then as the issues come up, we will be able to see exactly, you know, what else we need to do. We're not addressing one of the other big issues, which I think someday is somewhere down the line we need to, which is fraternities and sororities. We really need to address that as well, whether they'll be incorporated into the student code of conduct or have their own. That's another big decision. I think that's an amendment to Joe's motion or not, but however we phrase it for consideration next time, it should be said it's a part of the process of amending and revising the campus code of conduct. Just a suggestion. I mean, since we're on the verge of deciding, we actually can take the university. We should do this soon. Take the university council draft and say we're going to finish this part by X, this part by Y, this part. We should really and then really work expeditiously on that. I think we can do that.
That is what we will do.
Yeah.
So I do believe that the motion would have to be slightly amended, at least to say that it would be a student code within the greater campus code. So if somebody would like to propose that amendment.
You can accept it as a thing.
Okay. And so if there's no further discussion, all in favor. Unanimous, no opposed, one abstention. And so we are now one step closer to where we need to be, which is really exciting.
Okay.
So it is my understanding that this is just part of the greater university council proposed writing.
Yeah.
As we work through them, like when the next part, like we go to like do this, say, okay, and then we pass it to the UA. After we say we've marked this one up that we got this one. What?
Where's the rest of it?
Where's the rest of it?
So I was told that I would have the rest of it already, and I still do not. So I am trying to figure that out. We're going to continue trekking along. There's enough that we can continue working on here. It will only be a problem when we surpass this point if there is no language for the procedural, and then we're going to have to make the decision on our own.
Yeah.
Richard.
But when you talk to them, you can say, you can praise their draft. You know, say,
yeah.
Look, we really admire, we like the work you have done. But in order to have, they, you know, the whole process, move forward, it's important for us to have the entire thing. In other words, they're not, sure then, they're not doing something just for their own enjoyment or whatever. That really is part of, how we want to proceed. I kind of think that Joe's other point, I don't think we send anything forward until we're done. I really think that's important because there are going to be parts that interrelate and, you know, we're going to have second thoughts even when we're done, but we'll have second thoughts during this semester as well. So I would wait.
So I'd also like that to be a motion within the CJC, just so that we're on the same page that we are going to wait to send the product all at once, and so that I can articulate that to the UA on behalf of everyone. So all right, discussion.
This is just the student part.
Right now, we're working under the impression that it's a student code within the greater code that we're working on for this semester. Yes. And it's a deadline that we're going to try to meet, but it's not a hard set deadline because I don't think we are willing to meet for, you know, an 2 hours every single week, and it's going to be based on how far we can move along. And I'm going to give some homework for next Tuesday, which I'm really excited about, and I think we're going to really be able to continue moving the discussion along and get a lot changed this year. So, yeah, for another reason.
Yeah. I agree with, you know, the plan. What I'd like to see when we, you know, propose, assuming for the moment that we end up saying, yeah, at the end we think there should be a student code separately, that we also submit to the UA a plan for addressing the other parts.
Mm-hmm.
That's, you know, part of the package. Here's the finished part, here are the parts that we are submitting in terms of our plan to address the other aspects.
Okay. And that is something that I imagine we would kind of all the work and figure out.
So, but I'd like it not to seem like we're done, but that we have, but we'll have a finished product.
Yeah, okay. So we're all understanding we're waiting on finishing the section or part as a greater piece rather than each individual small section change to the UI. Okay, so if there's no further discussion on that, we did have a second, right? So, yeah, we had like 3 seconds. So all in favor? No opposed, and one abstention. So moved once again. I am really excited about how much we've been able to discuss already, and I am going to propose that on the business of the day, under B,
3.1, the value section, that we table that discussion for next week, just so that we have time to really thoroughly go into it. And I'm also going to recommend that we do the same for C and talk about the hearing board next week as well. So if anyone is okay with that, Gavin, make the motion. Any discussion on that? Yes.
What are we going to do for the next half hour?
So we are going to start talking about what parts we're going to work on and delegation. Yeah. If we do have time, we can come back, but I'm going to recommend that we table them for now.
I just want to clarify, because I know some things want to wrap up the UHRD. Is everything, like, okay with the UHRD? They don't need more people or anything like that? I'm assuming that's why we're, like, able to pay because they don't need any, they're not in there. Any kind
they
of
do so. Need people. It's just I will have the numbers next week. Okay. I just don't have the numbers yet. So I figure... Okay. It's a better time to discuss when we actually know how many slots we're selling.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a second. If there's no more discussion, we'll take a vote. So all in favor of tabling those two items. All right, fantastic. Unanimous with my extension. And so we are going to do that next week. So regarding reorganization, as we're going to be working off of this university council draft, I think that within the next week, the first thing that we could do is look at the first, let me see how many pages we're getting. So, 1, 2, 3. So I would like to have everyone just look at the first 4 pages and think about questions that we have, questions about clarity. Is anything missing? We don't need to get so detailed in proposing specific language, but we are also happy to hear that. Yes, Joe.
I think the one question that we need to ask ourselves, which is conveniently in the comments, on page 9 is a broader conversation on the topic of street misconduct and sanctuary.
Yeah. we're looking at the university council doc.
Just because I think, you know, if they have questions in writing it, we should also have questions
yeah.
so that when we are addressing, we can harmonize things, we can make sure that we're not stepping too far into the realm that we don't know much about. So I would say.
Yeah, and so beyond those 2 pages, I'm also recommending that we go into section 3 on prohibited conduct, and each of us takes at least one of these offenses and just brings to the table questions about awkward language or just things that could easily be misinterpreted because we're really trying to go for readability and protecting life. So I believe that we could accomplish both of those things next week if we all can work together on that. I'm happy to also add the fraternity system into the discussion for next week. And we, I'd be happy to hear, like, information about where you think it belongs, where people think it does not belong. Richard?
Could we have a copy of whatever? Yeah, I'm emailing someone to send it out from the privilege for everyone.
Because I have no idea. I mean, I would want to look at it and see how different it is and how easily or difficult it would be to incorporate.
Okay, yeah, that would be great because I also don't have that. And I will include that in the meeting packet as well once I get that. So
So what do you want volunteers?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
So right now we're looking at Section 3, which is prohibited conduct. So we have 3.1 through 3.17. So they're not long. Some of them are a little longer than others. But I would be happy to have at least one person for each. It would be great if we could have more than one person because...
When you say each, you mean...
Like on page 5, 3.1, alcohol-related behavior. So somebody who would be reading section 3.1 and in each sentence just reading for readability, circling words that are unclear or easily misinterpreted, asking questions about what this actually means and the implications it could have on the community, and then being able to raise those discussions. And then we can decide whether, one, we're removing certain language, two, we need to replace words, or if we're completely taking, we're completely scratching it and starting over. Yeah, Laura.
So, being the EA, and I'm happy to volunteer, but I'm not sure I'm going to come up with the same things that people who are more familiar with the code might come up with. So, my sense is that I would read all of it.
So, a lot of us are now, if that helps. And last year, while I was on the committee, the committee was not necessarily so, wasn't that productive, and we didn't move very quickly, so there wasn't a lot of discussion, and there's not going to be a right or a wrong answer. It's just going to be, I hope we will all bring it, because it's not very long, and if you have a section, if you read something weird in a section that you don't volunteer to take on, I would absolutely circle that also, because for example, I can tell you that I thought that something was weird, and you may all disagree with me, and that's completely okay. So I think that we're all new, at least, to this process of delegating work and doing things individually. I would be happiest if you could get like 2 people per each one, just because I think that is a better way to go about it.
So we each have this draft. Right.
Yeah.
So rather than sections, why don't we do pages?
I'd like to do sections.
I think that sections would just be a good way for people to be looking at individual offenses. And
To get us out of the gate, Joe and I will take three.
Three
and four? Three
and four.
Okay. Three and four.
So I'm happy to do 3.8 and 3.9. I've been working on this. So.
I'll also double up with that one as well.
Both of them?
Yeah, 3.8 and 3.9. I can
I'll
take every
Okay.
I'll take 3.5.
I always look at the things that I feel passionate about. 3.15. I'll bid on that one.
Okay, so I'm going to throw myself into the mix. I'm going to take 3.16 and also 3.7.
How about 3.4? I'll be 3.2.
Is that your job?
Yeah.
I'll be 3.2.
All right.
Actually, Logan, I'll take everything from 3.00 through 3.5.
Okay.
I think most of that is
already done. Perfect, because then you will be a double person on everyone. I can take 3 seconds.
Okay. Or any more.
Yeah, 3 through 3.
I'll take 17.
I'll take 13.
I'll take 3 or 4.
I'll take 17 again.
Jen, what was the last one that you
said? 3-4.
3-4?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We don't need somebody on 3-4.
Okay,
perfect. So we could use...
I said I'm going to take 3-4.
Okay. Yeah, I got you there. So we could use... nobody's on 3-11 or...
I'm on 3-11.
Oh, never mind. Okay, I got 3-11. Okay. I only have you down. I only put you for time. Okay. So, is that related? So we are now missing, unless somebody says 314 and I missed it.
Yeah, I said 314.
Okay.
Who turned 313?
313, I have Joe, but there's only one.
Oh, 313.
Yeah. Okay. Gavin, you're 312 and 313?
I am. Yes.
Okay. So the ones that only have one person currently. Richard, you was also out of time. So 3-6 and 3-7 only have one person on them.
I'll get the backup list.
Okay, great. Thank you, Jen. And then I am going to join Jen on 3-10 and 3-11. So then I 3-14 through 3-16 could use one more person for that. Okay, great. Thank you, Laura. All right. So yeah, just to clarify, we're just gonna read into readability, see, read each line separately. Is there authored language that would lead you as a naive reader to not have any understanding of why you were being, like, why charges were against you under this scenario, or if we're missing, like, very important details or language. And then when we are looking, would you guys be more comfortable if for the first 4 pages we also broke it into sections instead of reading all 4 of them? Because we have scope, and then speech and expression is going to be Richard's section if we break them up. And probably also principles and values. But that's all under that section. So yeah, I'm open to reading the whole thing as a group.
It's really interesting.
Yeah.
And I think it's set in the poem.
Yeah.
Okay. So yeah, let's all
question about how we proceed. We each read our sections, and we're reading them for readability, and we come up with alternative language, and we put it in the text so that we have the original text and the changes. Is that what you want?
You could do that. Does everyone want to work off of track changes?
I don't.
I'm really confused.
Because I'm happy not to work off of track changes and to just have the document up and have us go through each and kind of agree to our changes we go.
Yeah. But we will have the changes. The question is whether we circulate the changes through individually recommending before the meeting or after. That's the question.
Share the changes that we
recommend. We say,
title of disruption, university activity should be changed to whatever.
I'll just let you connect with you before.
Yeah, which I kind of think is a good idea.
I'm happy for that to be a committee decision. I want this to be a working group, so yeah. I don't want to make decisions with standards. So I'm happy to do whatever we all would like to do. Yeah, Joe.
I think we set ourselves a deadline before the next meeting, and we all sent it to Logan, and Logan can hold the master. So then, like, there's a master document with the changes, so that we're not circulating.
Yeah, individual.
I think that's right.
The only thing that's going to be tough is going to be the first four pages, just because obviously everyone is going to have different changes, mm-hmm. and I can do like comments on the side of like the most common
mm-hmm. yeah.
issues. But yeah, I would be happy to hold a master as long as you're not getting it to me like the night before.
So in that race. Question. The next meeting is next Tuesday.
Yes, but so, our next thing that we're going to talk about is going to be the meeting time.
Yeah, but okay. Mm-hmm. So whatever the meeting time is, maybe 48 hours before that. I mean, I know personally, I really like to see whatever the message that it comes to you, all these changes and so forth. I'd like to see them and consider them before the meeting.
Yeah. So I would be super grateful to receive anything between Sunday morning and like midday on Sunday at the latest if we're going to have a meeting on Tuesday, just because depending on how much work, yeah, we're going to discuss other potential times.
We can't do Sunday?
Next Tuesday.
Oh, no, we can't do next Tuesday. That's true.
Okay, we will discuss that for
I think everything's just too different that changes. Because you're going to be putting it all in one document.
Yeah, that is true.
Didn't you say something about like putting it up on the screen and projecting it and talk through it that way? I've looked at other committees where it's up on the screen and it gets you aligned, the committee all talks about that one way. So you work on that part, talk about that part that's on the screen.
Which is what I was originally proposing, but
could I suggest perhaps a Google Doc that we all are shared into that we can see? So if I'm working with Gavin on a session, I'd like to see what comments he put in there, and that might trigger something I was thinking, and then we can just have that Google Doc, and you can even break it into each section. So you don't have to put the section in there, but then we can put notes on section 3.1, notes on section 3, pull data.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll just
be
the suggestion again, sort of long-wise Google Doc.
I would be happy to entertain them.
that just so that we're all on the same page about delegation. Also the Sunday time frame. Okay.
So we should talk about meeting times. Because Tuesday.
Okay.
Tuesday afternoon.
Okay, Tuesday. All right. Okay, yeah. So that is going to be the last item on the agenda, which is our schedule. So if Tuesday at 4:30 is not working for both of you, which.
Particularly next Tuesday.
Okay. Is Tuesday a difficult time for other members of the committee as well?
You're talking about next Tuesday?
No, or just Tuesday in general?
Generally, Tuesdays are not good for me. If I'm the only person there and not good for, then I'll just, you know, try to come in.
I commonly can't do Tuesdays either. My son is on a bar piece office.
Okay.
How do we feel about Wednesdays? We feel good about Wednesday.
Except once a month. I have to be there.
I mean, once a month isn't bad. We can also be flexible in the time. I mean, I've tried to make it easy enough because people have families and just want to leave school at some point at the end of the day on campus. So if we want to move to Wednesdays, we can do that. Thursday is also a possibility. Okay, so let's discuss Wednesday right now. Who has a conflict on Wednesday time frame? Just Wednesdays in general, so potentially switch meetings too.
I would have to leave for meeting at 5:15. I already said the question.
I have to meet at 4:35.
Is it weekly? Or is it like how often? It's going to be weekly for these 2 weeks, and then it's bi-weekly, and then it might, unfortunately, have to be 2 weeks in a row one more time,
okay.
Which I'll go through that in a second also.
Okay.
But if we do switch the date, it will be 2 weeks in a row, just because I do think that we want to move along, but then it will just be bi-weekly, because right now the other 2 weeks in a row is because of the UA meeting. So if we switch the date, we are going to be bi-weekly, except for next week. So are you thinking 4:30 on Wednesday? Do you lose off sooner or sooner?
If you move it up earlier, then I'm very free. But I know,
can't have
yeah, moved up earlier. Yeah. And also, I'll be going from here to my night.
Seven a.m.
I can do Friday.
Okay.
Friday.
Monday. Okay. I'm hearing that Monday.
I got last.
I am raised.
The preparation for the SAT. That's an ugly day.
That's
Gavin.
Okay.
Gavin.
Okay. So.
What if we did like? Up in the morning. Let's do lunch. No. Any morning sports?
Monday and Friday morning, I can do both.
Morning?
I can do Monday morning.
Monday morning is for me.
Monday lunch. Is it typically like 2 hours? Because class is 2 or 1 hour. It's an hour and a half.
I have class from 11 to 1.
Is it 1:30?
Well, he has class until 1.
Yeah.
So that would be either 1:15 or 1:30.
In what building?
Yeah. I have class on Golden Smith.
So what are you proposing? 1:15 to 1:15
on Monday the 23rd.
It would be 1:15 until 2:45.
Almost every
Monday. Are we switching to every Monday, or are we switching to this upcoming Monday?
Let's do this upcoming Monday.
Can we do it for the next 2 weeks? Can we really try to do it for the next 2 weeks?
Yeah, so my perspective meeting schedule right now was the 24th, which is next week, and then the 8th of October, and then the 22nd of October, and then the 29th, since CQA has a meeting, and then the 12th and the 26th. So if we did switch to, let me just look at my calendar, if we switch to Monday for the next two, I don't see why not. So yeah, then we could. Joe, you can also meet on Monday?
Yeah.
Okay. So yeah, we can switch our meeting for next week to Monday.
The
23rd, yeah. Okay. Yeah, 9:23. But then I would also like to try to plan, are we trying to stick to Mondays and do every other week on Monday and lose Tuesday? Because because then we can go to October 7th and then the 21st. Then November 4th, and then we're going every other week, but then we will run into a problem. No, we won't actually, because the UA is on Tuesday. So Monday will be fine for every other week.
This has been a production of Cornell University, on the web at cornell.edu.